Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Time for us to ask a pastor. We do have Pastor Stanley Chilembo. Pastor Stanley Chilembo is going to be answering our question for today. If you have a question like the person who sent their question, please feel free to send that question to us, and we'd love to hear. We would love to hear your question, and I promise to put your questions to the pastors as robust as I can to visit all the avenues you possibly could have meant when you sent the question. So please, not to stress, not to worry. I will be asking all your questions. Just send them to my producer and she'll schedule your question in, and she'll find you a pastor who will answer your question. We do have Pastor Chilembo, for example, who's going to be answering a question for today. And our question for today is, how do you handle someone who says they have lost their faith completely? How do you handle someone who says they have lost their faith completely? Pastor Stanley Chilembo, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you heard the question, my pastor. How do you handle someone who says they have lost their faith completely?
How do you handle someone who says they have lost their faith completely?
Correct.
May I begin by saying that when you feel like you have lost faith, that's the point where you need to realize that God is very closer to you than ever before.
Right.
Yeah. So the feeling where, you know, there are two things. When you talk about feelings and the actual things or the facts of life,
right,
these are two different things. I may feel like I don't see God in my life, I don't see faith, or I can even realize that I don't think I have faith in my life. Mm. So the moment you have such feelings, or you realize that you do not have, you have lost the faith in God.
Right.
This is the right step going back to God.
Okay.
There is, when we talk about steps to Christ, there are some steps that we usually advise people that they must follow as they want to get back to God.
Right.
The first thing that we must realize is to know our situation, to know where we are. Then now it will help us now to get to the next stages.
Right.
So if you are losing faith in God, because maybe we can give reasons. Why do people lose faith?
Right.
People lose faith in God because of circumstances in life. Because of certain things that have happened in their life, they feel God is not there to care for them.
Right.
They feel like God is distant, has distanced himself from them. They may lose faith.
Right.
Or others, they may be losing faith because God, they may be losing faith because they don't just feel the presence of God in their life. It's just a feeling that God is not there.
Mm.
And usually this second reason is based on doubts.
Right.
You may have those doubts asking, is God truly in my life?
Right.
So when those things happen, it's possible that we may have such feelings.
Right.
So when we establish the reason why we feel like I have lost faith, it will help us now to get to the next stage.
Right.
So now, practically speaking, what am I going to advise someone who says, I feel like I have lost faith in God?
Completely.
My brother or sister, I'm going to say, do not feel ashamed.
Mm.
Do not feel ashamed. Such feelings are normal. Even me as a pastor, there are times when I feel like, is this thing working in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Am I truly serving God? We always ask such questions. Why? Because the journey, our spiritual journey, is not based on, most of the times, is not based on our feelings or the things that we see.
Mm-hmm.
The definition of faith tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. That is the book of that is from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It defines faith as a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen.
Right.
So we need to know that feelings sometimes may deceive us. You may have that feeling of saying, I have lost the faith, but God is actually is in you. Paul tells us that even when you have these struggles where you feel like I am not where I am supposed to be,
right.
Paul says, one thing I do in the book of Philippians chapter 3. He says, one thing I do is to press on towards the heavenly mark.
Right.
So let us make sure that we do not base our judgment on our feelings, because feelings differ. Tomorrow, today, you may have these feelings. Today, you wake up as a happy person. Tomorrow, you may be moody. The other day, you may... Feelings keep on changing.
That's right.
And if we build our faith on feelings, we may lose it all.
Right.
So, the point that I am making is that base your understanding not on feelings, but on facts.
Right.
What are the facts that I'm going to talk about? The fact that I'm going to point to is, how do we build faith? We build faith based on the word of God.
Right.
It is Paul in the book of Romans chapter 10 who tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God.
Right.
The more we hear the word of God, the more we build our faith. Our feelings may be telling us something else, but God is telling us that we are his children.
Right.
So let us increase our belief in God. It will help us to grow stronger to him. So I said, don't be ashamed that you are losing faith. Move away from your feelings and base your understanding on facts. And these facts are based in the word of God.
So
other practical things that I may advise is that acknowledge your situation or your feelings. You know, I've talked about losing faith based on situations of life. So acknowledge your situation, that it is valid. It's okay to feel frustrated when your life isn't going the way you planned it. It's even okay to be angry at God when you feel like he isn't listening to you. You can be angry, but don't insult him. This is the point that I'm making. It's possible to have such feelings that things that you have planned are not working.
Sorry, my pastor. Just clarify something. You said you can make your feelings known to God, but don't insult him. What does it mean to insult God?
Now, to insult God is where you curse God never to listen to God, whatever he says. You just give up on God. You give up on anything to do with God. Jesus says, you may blaspheme the Father, he will forgive you. You may blaspheme the Son, he will forgive you. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, he will not forgive you. There we are talking about committing the sin which we call unpardonable sin. So sometimes I may feel frustrated. I may feel so angry. I may even question God, do you really exist? Why don't you care for me? Yes, but when the answer comes, or when advices come, be humble enough to listen when people talk.
Sorry, my pastor.
So you
said that the unpardonable sin is the one of blaspheming the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You can offend God and you'll be forgiven. You can offend the Son, you can offend people, but offending the Holy Spirit is unpardonable. But I thought I heard your advice saying you can be angry with God. And you can tell him your feelings, but don't insult him. So I was asking, what does it mean to insult God, not the Holy Spirit, God. I'm assuming you're distinguishing between the three when you say you can insult God, you can be forgiven, but if you insult the Holy Spirit, you will not be forgiven. That gives me the impression that you're distinguishing between the three persons in the Godhead. So what does it mean to insult God? And why can't I insult God? Because your verse says the only unpardonable sin is the one again of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, not God. But now you're advising us against blaspheming God or insulting God. What does that mean?
Okay. When I say don't, you can be angry with God, but don't insult him.
Right.
What I'm putting across is where you reach at a point where you are cursing God. And you tell God you have nothing to do with him.
Right.
You detach yourself completely to say, anyone who will come to talk to me about God, we are not going to be in good terms. Now, that means that you have reached at a point where you are insulting God, you are rejecting God, you are even rejecting the way out of your problems.
I hear you, Pastor.
We are all...
I need you to clarify, where in the scripture do we get this?
Hello?
I need you to help me understand, where in the scriptures do we get this, that you should not or should never insult God? And I'm to give you opportunity to just ponder upon my question, Mfundisi, is that we have seen many people in scripture speaking so offensively to God. Job is one such character. He has spoken to God and God did not take issue with him. He simply took him through the paces. He taught him like a father. He reprimanded him like a father would reprimand a son. We see Jonah, the wayward prophet. He spoke things and he was angry with God, especially when God forgave the Ninevites. He was upset with God. But God accepted. He engaged. He was engaged in a robust debate with Jonah. The same applies with Moses. So the list really does go on with people who disagree. Jeremiah is one such person. Ezekiel has such prophet who expressed anger and he took God to task. So what exactly, where in the scriptures do we get it from that you cannot speak the things that you're saying we should not speak to God?
Yeah. Now, all these examples, if you look at all these examples, we can use, if you begin with Moses,
right.
Moses reached at a point where he was even saying, you can remove my name from the book of life. Mm. It's Jonah who says, why are you saving these wicked people? Now, when you look at all these people, their attitude, even when they spoke in this manner, when you look at their attitude, when God spoke to them,
right.
when God spoke to them, how did they react? Jonah had even challenged God, saying, I know that you were going to save these people.
Mm.
And then what does God do? He takes Jonah to a place that was so hot, it was scorching,
right.
And provided him a shelter.
Yes.
And within a short time, God withered that shelter.
Absolutely.
And Jonah cried out to God.
Kill me now.
And God now, God was showing Jonah to see and told him to say, you see,
right.
It is in my hand to do what I want to do.
That's right. That's right.
So when I say don't insult God, we know that we may have ups and downs in life. Today we may have feelings that I have lost faith in God, I have lost hope in God because of certain things that are happening today. But don't curse God today. There is tomorrow.
I hear you.
Your feelings today should not be your permanent position, because ups and downs are helping us to realize that we are a people who are in a journey. And these things are there to strengthen our spiritual walk with God.
I understand.
So he allows these.
I think our advice is really not to the person who has lost their faith. Our advice is to the one who's ministering to the person who's lost their faith. When I speak to person X says, I have lost my faith. I'm Naye, I'm speaking to person X, and person X says, I've lost my faith. How do I tell them, no, you can't speak like that to God? What do I say? This is what the person is saying. How do you handle someone? So it's the minister.
Okay.
It's the preacher who is now asking for your advice to tell them what should they do with a member or a person who has lost their faith. And now you're saying we must tell those people who have lost their faith not to speak and insult God. When that person responds and says, where do you get that from in scripture? How do you respond to that?
All right. Okay. If I am the one handling, you know, it's like I'm dealing with two questions here. I'm dealing with two issues. A person who has lost, or now the person who is handling the person who has lost the faith.
Absolutely.
So if you are handling someone who has lost the faith, what do you do with them? Help them. Help them to acknowledge their struggle. And the struggle, this struggle are the things that I have mentioned, that people base, you know, they lose faith because of their feelings. They lose the faith in God because of situations and circumstances they have passed through. So it's important to acknowledge their pain and struggles. Losing faith often stems from deep emotion or intellectual challenges. Being passionate and listening to them will help us get to know what is the root cause of this. So when we help people to acknowledge their struggles, it becomes very easy to help them. It is Paul in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 15, who says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Here, a person who is handling people who have lost faith, if you discover that as you come closer to them, as you get into their emotions, their feelings, as you get to know their struggles, it becomes very easy to relate with them. Psalms number 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. So even us, as we handle such people, we need to know that as we get closer to such people, there is hope in God, and God wants to save them based on the situation they are doing.
Right.
The second thing, since we are now handling people who have lost the faith, the second thing we must do is encourage them to seek God honestly.
Right.
How do people seek God honestly? We seek God by, number one, helping people to pray. And this prayer, it must be, since I am the one who knows the situation, I should also be there to assist them get back in the things of God.
Right.
They could have lost the path, and we want them to come back. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 13, it says, you will seek me and you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. So the Lord is promising that when we help people to seek God honestly, they will be found as they get to read the word, as they get into fellowship, as they get into a prayer. It really helps them to get back to be connected to God.
All right.
And then the third one is that let us remind them of God's faithfulness. Let us remind them of God's faithfulness. Yes, today they may feel this, they may have a faithless life. It's Paul in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, who says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. God is faithful, and he is the one who has a better future for us. In Jeremiah 29, he says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans not to hurt you, but plans to bring you to an unexpected ending. God has a better future for us. And by the way, God knows all our situations. In the book of Isaiah 1, verse 18, he says, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. God knows every situation of every person. So as we are handling such people, let's help them to realize that God is faithful. God can handle every circumstance of life. And when we give him an opportunity, we will actually come closer and win those people back to God.
Got it.
And the last point. The last point that I can make here is that invite them back to God. How do we invite people back to God? Connect them with people who are thriving in faith. Those people who are doing fine. Let's connect them. Some people may have lost faith because they are disconnected. They find themselves in awkward situations, in awkward positions. They have no one to relate to. But as we connect those people back to the family of God, you discover that they will find someone who will accompany them and who will help them to have a better hope for tomorrow. If they think they have lost it all, we have a lot of lessons in the Bible. The prodigal son, like we were studying in the study guide this past week, the prodigal son gives us such a very good lesson of someone who had lost it all, who had no hope. Realizing that I have lost my future, I have lost my inheritance, the young man sat down and said, let me go back to my father.
Got it. No, I hear you. When we deal with tomorrow's question, perhaps we'll try and give you the whole context of the question right at the beginning so that you can have the opportunity to expound on it. But I want to thank you very much for your insights and your understanding, Mfundisi. Thank you very much for your request.
Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.